And Ian and Hilary are going to come and bring our readings to us. Thank you.
First reading comes from Luke chapter 11. And it's Jesus' teaching to his disciples on prayer.
One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say this: Father, may your holy name be honoured. May your kingdom come. Give us day by day the food we need. Forgive us our sins, for we forgive everyone who does us wrong. And do not bring us to hard testing." And Jesus said this to his disciples: "Suppose one of you should go to a friend's house at midnight and say, 'Friend, let me borrow 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine who is on a trip has just come to my house, and I don't have any food for him.' And suppose your friend should answer from inside, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' Well, what then? I tell you that even if he will not get up and give you the bread because you are his friend, yet he will get up and give you everything you need because you are not ashamed of keeping on asking. And so I say to you, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For those who ask will receive, and those who seek will find, and the door will be opened to anyone who knocks. Would any of you who are fathers give your son a snake when he asks for a fish? Or would you give him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? As bad as you are, you know how to give good things to your children. How much more then will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?"
The second reading is from John chapter 15, starting at verse 12. My commandment is this: love one another just as I love you. The greatest love you can have for your friends is to give your life for them. And you are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because servants do not know what their master is doing. Instead, I call you friends, because I have told you everything I heard from my Father. You did not choose me, I chose you, and appointed you to go and bear much fruit, the kind of fruit that endures. And so, the Father will give you whatever you ask of him in my name." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word to us today. Thank you for the wisdom, the truth, and the life that it brings to each of us. Lord, we pray that you will open our minds, that we don't just hear your word, but we understand it. And we pray that you will soften our hearts. Help us to hear what you want to say to us. Help us to have the humility to be able to obey and respond in whatever way you want us to. In Jesus' name, amen. A well-known Christian speaker was once at a church event where people were asked to describe the most exciting event that they had ever experienced. Now, many people in his group immediately thought of spiritual experiences, things like being baptized or becoming a Christian. Some went straight to talk about big adventures, one in hang gliding, One had been on a safari. As the answers were shared, the Christian speaker thought rapidly of significant events in his life. What was the most exciting thing? Was it getting married? No, he said, that was too terrifying. Was it seeing his children born? Mind-blowing, but no. No, there was something in the back of his mind. What was it? What was that thing? Suddenly, at the top of his voice, he shouted, "Radishes!" The rest of the group was stunned into silence. "Radishes?" "Yes, that was it," he explained. "My most exciting moment was when I was about 3 years old and I saw my radishes come up." He talked the group through how he had been assigned a small square in the garden at the edge of his father's allotment. He gave them great detail of how he'd made a groove in the earth with a stick. And then he'd got the packet of seeds that he'd got from the village shop, and he'd carefully sown them and then covered them over. Every day from that moment, he rushed to that ground, wondering if anything was happening under the soil. And then that moment of incredible joy, when, and you'll understand this if you're growing radishes, you see those first two leaves out like this, appearing through the soil. That was exciting, but that was not the end. Still, he had to wait patiently, although every day he became more and more desperate to pull up his radishes. And then that moment of excitement, the sheer delight he experienced when he was told, "Today is the day. The radishes are ready to be pulled." And proudly he delivered his first few radishes to his mum, beaming with joy. Now, I wouldn't say radishes were my most exciting experience, but I do remember planting radishes as a child. Is that because radishes are easy to grow? Is that a good, safe thing? Now, even now, I do like to plant new flowers and bulbs in my garden. And I like to watch them grow. And I like to watch them hopefully bloom. And there is certainly anticipation, expectation, and, you'll believe it of me, a little bit of excitement in seeing those plants grow and develop. Now, the same can be said, I'm sure, of children. As we dedicated Rose today, already she's grown quite a lot in the last few months, hasn't she? And I'm sure Tom and Jess love watching her develop, that first smile, that growing recognition of who they are. And it won't be long, perhaps even now, when she's trying to copy everything that older brother William does. And she's learning from him too, everything, the good and maybe the not quite so good. Children grow and learn and develop. Seeds and bulbs grow and hopefully produce flowers or vegetables or fruit. And as Christians who follow Jesus, we should also be growing. We should be evolving, being transformed from day to day. You see, the Christian life is not a static experience. It's not a one-off event when one day you choose to believe in God and decide you'll come to church from time to time. The Christian life is an ongoing encounter with the living God. An encounter which shapes you and changes you, and through which you learn and grow into who God created you to be. Now, during the next few months, our morning preaching series is going to be looking at how we grow and develop as Christians, encouraging us to capture that same sense of innocent excitement as that Christian speaker did in seeing his radishes grow. It will also be challenging us to allow God to work within us as we reap our personal harvest for him, and as we recognise who we are in him, heirs of his kingdom, a child of the King of Kings. And as we begin that series today, our focus is on Jesus' discussion with his disciples about prayer and the stories that he used to illustrate it. You see, prayer is an essential part of our growth as a Christian, because prayer is vital, absolutely vital to our ongoing relationship with God. We know for any relationship to grow, communication is essential. It's true in family relationships, it's true in friendships, and it's true more than ever in our spiritual life. As we seek to know Jesus more, as we seek to follow him and live for him, we can only do that as we get to know him more and spend time in communication. Now, the disciples recognized the importance of prayer, partly because they saw it modeled by Jesus. We heard in verse 1 of the reading from Luke that Jesus had been praying in a certain place. Now, if you look through the Bible of the stories of Jesus, you'll notice that Jesus often withdrew by himself to spend time in prayer, communicating with his Father in heaven. Now, if Jesus, God's Son, needed that ongoing relationship and communication with God, how much more do we need to spend time in prayer? It was after Jesus prayed on this occasion that Luke tells us that the disciples asked for help in knowing how to pray. Lord, they said, teach us to pray. Now, Jesus began, firstly, by answering their question by quoting what we now refer to as the Lord's Prayer. We've already said the words of the Lord's Prayer at the beginning of our service today. But the Lord's Prayer is important not because those exact words were the ones that Jesus felt we should use exactly, but because they are along the lines that we should pray. That's why we're using the Lord's Prayer as the foundation for our week of prayer this week. Each day we're going to be exploring a different aspect of this prayer. So this morning I'm not going to go into every single line, but I want you just to think for a moment of the opening lines. The prayer begins, Father, may your holy name be honoured. Or, Our Father, hallowed be your name. From the beginning, the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples emphasizes that prayer is built upon our relationship with God. It is in the security of that relationship that we can approach God in the first place. And it's through that relationship that our communication exists. And these opening lines show us that our relationship with God is based upon love, but also respect. We come firstly to God as our Heavenly Father, the most perfect Father, who is accessible, who welcomes us, who cares deeply for us, and who wants to help and protect us. But we also come to the Holy God, whose name is to be honoured in reverence and with respect. Now, that doesn't mean we should come before God in fear, in a kind of terrified way, nor does it mean we should only come to God when we're desperate. Rather, it means that as we approach God, we do so from a place of humility. We recognize we're in need of his help, and we make ourselves completely dependent upon him. But we can also come to him in confidence. Confidence because we know he loves us and he wants to help us and to answer our prayers. Now, having given these words, this model of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus goes on to illustrate further how God wants to help us by giving a few examples and some stories of how humans respond in certain situations, and then saying to his disciples, if this is what people are like, how much more then will God want to do for us? The first story that Jesus told was of a friend who knocked on his friend's door at midnight because he had an unexpected visitor. Now, to help us to understand the story, we need to recognize that hospitality was incredibly important in Jesus' day. A visitor would be welcomed and cared for whatever time of the day or night he arrived. Now, clearly, there was no 24-hour Tesco down the road. So, if a friend arrived and you had no food, this was a very serious situation. In Jesus' story, the host visits a friend in the middle of the night to borrow some bread. Now, this story has often been used to emphasize the need to be persistent in prayer. Our Good News translation of the story doesn't really help matters because it implies the need to repeat requests. In verse 8, it says, I tell you that even if he will not get up and give you the bread because you're his friend, yet he will give you everything you need because you're not ashamed to keep on asking. Actually, it's not helpful, that translation. And it's certainly not helpful to have the emphasis on keep on asking. I would agree with the commentators who suggest this is not about persistence in praying. It's more about relationship and an illustration that God is going to do far more than any human being would. Maybe in this case, the NIV is a better translation. It states, because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him what he needs. God desires prayer that is bold. Or perhaps a better way to put it is to say God longs for us to be shameless in the way that we approach him. Not in the sense of being brash or arrogant or self-righteous, but in the understanding that, as the story illustrates, if a human being would respond in need in the middle of the night, how much more will our Father in heaven want to help us? Thinking back to that question at the beginning of the message, the question the Christian speaker was asked, what's the most exciting event you've ever experienced? Mine wouldn't be radishes, but it would probably be the day that I went to Buckingham Palace to see my dad receive an MBE from the Queen. I've never seen my dad look so nervous. My dad was always so calm. He always had an air of confidence. But when he was whisked away from us to be with the other recipients and receive his instructions of what to do and what to say and how to address the Queen, and we were ushered to another part of the palace, I have never wanted more than ever to go with my dad and instill in him the confidence that he always instilled in me. Now, after a lot of waiting, while we were sitting in a grand room with the band playing in the gallery, the ceremony suddenly began. And we sat eagerly waiting for my dad to be announced. And suddenly I was aware that a few rows in front of me, a lady had started coughing. It wasn't a bad cough, just one of those annoying tickles that you get in the back of your throat. You know, the ones when you just can't get rid of it. And this poor lady, she tried her best not to let this cough get the better of her. But the cough persisted. As she coughed and coughed, suddenly, out of nowhere, one of the palace staff arrived next to her. A footman, I presume. He was in his regal uniform. You know the red and gold one? I don't know what it's called. I've been trying to Google it to see. Where it looks like you've got long white socks and your trousers are tucked in there. He was in one of those. And he walked up to her with a silver tray and a cut glass crystal glass full of water. and he offered it to her. The lady dutifully took the glass, took a sip of water, cleared her throat and put the glass back, at which point he went like this and like this. And somewhat embarrassed, she took the glass off the tray as she realised he was telling her to hang on to the glass of water for the rest of the ceremony. Now, at this point, my mum could read my mind. And she looked at me and she whispered, "Don't even think about coffin." Now, the atmosphere at the palace was one of reverence and respect. Most of us didn't have the opportunity to approach the Queen with boldness in the way that my dad did when his name was announced. But in the middle of that very serious and respectful occasion, a need arose. Now, admittedly, it wasn't Her Majesty that popped off to the kitchen and grabbed a glass of water, but I'm sure it was her wish that that need was met. Our relationship with God is based equally on love and respect. It's not one of fear where we're frightened, but nor is it one where we're all buddy-buddy expecting God to respond like a mate. Our relationship with God is not a peer relationship. It is a respectful relationship, but it's a relationship that is founded in perfect love. In his stories, Jesus spoke not only of the friend at midnight, but also of some comparisons of gifts that a father might give to his child. He said, "Who'd give their son a snake when he asked for a fish, or a scorpion when he asked for an egg?" Now, just as the first story was not about persistence, so these illustrations are not making the point that God will give us whatever we ask for. I'm sure that all of us know that is not the case. But Jesus' point is, again, the comparison between a human father doing something kind and our perfect, loving Father in heaven, who cares so much about us. He'd never want to hurt us, but would long to bless us with good things. Now, we all know today, and I'm sure Tom and Jess especially are aware of this, that you won't always be able to give Rose exactly what she wants when she wants it. I'm sure she's already learning that already. Some things aren't safe. Some things aren't right at that time. But you will always want to give her good things and want the best for her. And so on a far greater scale, Jesus is saying, God wants the best for us. He longs to give us good things, and he wants us to know and understand what is best in our lives. How do we know that? By growing in our relationship with him and spending time in prayer. And Jesus goes on in that final verse of the passage we read today from Luke to say, these good things come from the Holy Spirit, who draws us closer into relationship with God, who works within us to transform us, who is Jesus with us, guiding and directing us through our life. So this morning, at the start of this new term, I want to encourage you to seek to grow in your relationship with God. Don't let it be a static thing, but seek to know more of God's heart and hear more of God speaking to you and working in and through your life. Remember that as you pray, may your holy name be honoured, may your kingdom come, you are effectively handing over sovereignty to God. To be able to continue praying, give us day by day the food we need, forgive our sins, is to come before God in humility and dependence, to find that he supplies all of our needs. These words emphasise that we've left our old way of life behind and we've entered into a new life, a life where Jesus is Lord and where God blesses us with his Holy Spirit and draws us closer in our relationship with him. And it's that Holy Spirit that helps us to grow in our relationship. It transforms us, it enables us to bear fruit, the kind of fruit that endures, that was quoted in John chapter 15. And so I encourage you to come before God with boldness, not ashamed of bringing your requests and concerns to God, but with boldness and humility, trusting him to do what is right and best, secure in the love that our Father in heaven has, not just for the world, but for you personally. Let's take a moment to reflect on God's word to us in silence, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Lord, we thank you today that you are the Almighty God. And we do want to honour you and honour your name. Lord, what a privilege it is to be welcomed into the presence of the living God. And we thank you that today we don't have to come before you in fear or in shame. Thank you that as we've sung already, it is boldly that we can approach your throne. It is boldly that we can come to you to share what is on our heart. And we can do so knowing that you love us. You know everything about us. And even though you know everything about us, you love us so much and you want good things for us. And you want us to trust you. Lord, it's hard to give over everything, to surrender, to recognize that we are completely dependent upon you. We so often want to be in control. Help us to make you Lord of our lives, every bit of our lives. Draw us into a deeper relationship with you. Help us to talk to you more freely and to listen to you and discern your voice speaking to us. And enable us to grow and transform us into who you created us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.